guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, I'm Gary and this is my wife Gloria.
Hi, I'm Gloria and here we've got little Ricky. Ricky,
so we're a puppy dog friendly Bible study.
Yeah.
Have you ever struck one of them before? Yeah, this is Ricky, named after Uncle Rick over there in
Michigan.
Michigan, yeah. That's it.
So hey, hi to Rick and Elaine over there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we've got on screen with us our guest ministers, Jerry Tull from North Carolina and John Tripp, also yes. from North Carolina in America. Mm-hmm. But right now, Gloria's going to put little Ricky in his carry bag mm-hmm. there. And as soon as she comes back, she will open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion. So here's your opportunity to scoot out and grab your elements, mm-hmm. A piece of bread and some wine or juice or anything that you can use for the mm-hmm. Elements to mm-hmm. take in communion. Mm. Over to you, Gloria.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the people that you've brought along to Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And all those people who will be watching on either now or sometime in the future, Lord, we thank you that you call these people in because you care for each and every one of us and you want us to walk in your freedom and to walk in your love and to just know the depth of the love that you have for mankind. So Father God, we just thank you for this precious time and we open this Bible study in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the communion message that I'm going to bring kind of dovetails a little bit with what I talked about in the UK Bible study, which was last night. And last night I was talking about Palm Sunday, which is this weekend, and for us here in Australia it is today. For people in other parts of the world, depending on their time zones, it might be tomorrow. And one of the things that just there's been a lot of talk about in the news over here in Australia anyway is the upcoming coronation of King Charles III, which will be happening in May. And I was thinking about that as I was going about my day, and then I was thinking about how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and the people laid the branches on the ground and called out Hosanna in the highest. And I had this juxtaposition, I think that's the word you use, where you have one image and then you have another image. You have this image of a man, an earthly man, who is going to have this huge parade and the golden carriage and people waving, and he's going to be given a crown on his head and he's going to be given a cloak, and just all the pageantry and all the...
So this is King Charles.
This is King Charles, you know. Mm. And then I read about this man, Jesus, who got on a donkey. How humbling. And then rode on the donkey into Jerusalem. And these people cheered him on. And then not that long later, less than a week later, I'm going to read from John chapter 19, and it says, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again and said to them, 'Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.' And Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, 'Behold the man.' Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' And some of the people who would have probably been lining the streets and calling out Hosanna to the Son of David, less than a week later were people who were calling out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus knew all this was going to happen, and he just took it all. He took it for us. He knew he was on that road to the cross. And so as we come and we take communion, we're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made. We're remembering that he took that punishment for us. He endured the crown of thorns being pressed into his forehead and his skull. He endured the lashings on his back that paid the price for our healing. And as we take this bread right now, we're remembering the body of Jesus and what was won for us through his sacrifice, what was paid for us through his sacrifice of his body. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for me.
And as we look upon the cup, representing the blood of Jesus that flowed from his body, he gave it all for us. He gave everything for us. He took all sin upon himself. He took that original sin, that sin nature that Adam, when he fell, the world entered into a sin nature. And Jesus took all that. And we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you. We take this in remembrance of you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood.
Thank you, Father God, for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the risen King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the King. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. We talk about sin. We talk about sin nature. We talk about original sin. But sometimes it makes me wonder whether people, you know, I'm talking about people out there watching us from the third dimension, whether you know the difference. See, the sin nature is what we were born into because of Adam's sin. And that's Adam's sin was the original sin, right? Wasn't the sins that we do. It's because we're born with Adam's nature. And it's Adam's original sin that is passed down through the generations to every man and every woman born on the face of this earth. Now, sinners sin. Let me say that again. Sinners sin. It's not about the individual sins. The individual sins are the result of a sin nature. Mm-hmm. What you've got to have is a heart change, a change of heart. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. He didn't say you need to have behavior modification, stop sinning. If you stop sinning, then your hearts will become good. No, it's the other way around. The old man, that original sin, that sin nature, has to be taken to the cross of Jesus. And Jesus did that for us. And we can have a new heart placed in us. Mm-hmm. If we choose to make Jesus our Lord. You know, we don't usually start with an altar call, but today I think it's appropriate that we do so. Would you like to have that new heart today? If you would, then I invite you to join with me in prayer right now. Now, this prayer, if you've got pen and paper, is based on what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And Gloria, if you could turn there and read to the people out there in the third dimension. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and then I want to lead those who are moved by the Holy Spirit, because I believe that God will draw on you. You know, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And this drawing is by the Holy Spirit. So as Gloria reads this word, you're going to have a supernatural encounter with God the Father, who is going to draw you to Jesus, and then I'll lead you through what we call the beginner's prayer.
Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
With the heart, with your heart, you believe unto righteousness. But with your mouth, you confess Jesus as Lord unto salvation. This is all about you. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is all about you. It's all about you accepting what Jesus did for you at the cross of Calvary. So join with me in prayer right now. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And I've just heard that if I confess Jesus as Lord and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, then I will be saved. Therefore, Jesus, come into my heart. I confess you as my Lord. You will rule and reign in my life forever. And I believe in my heart that God the Father raised you from the dead. I thank you that I am now born again, that I have my ticket to heaven, that I am saved. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, then I'd invite you to send us an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com, and we'll put you in touch with a minister in your local area. That's right. This is a global ministry. We've got connections all around the world, and we will find someone in your local area to mentor you, to disciple you, the Bible calls it. Today's word for that is mentorship. So, yeah, it's as simple as that. You can see that salvation is really easy, but believe me, you are going to need help, because this is just the prayer that you just prayed based on Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 is just a beginning. It's the beginner's prayer, the beginning of your Christian walk, and you're going to need help, because there's more to it. This is just the start. There's more to it. If you haven't already got a Bible, buy yourself a Bible. The two that I recommend are either the King James Version or the easier to read New King James Version, and start reading the New Testament of the Bible. Start in the book of John, read the Gospels, and then read through the epistles before you go to the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament contains the New by the way of prophecy, but the New Testament explains the Old. So it's a lot easier to read the New Testament and to get understanding than it is to read the Old Testament. Okay, Bible study.
Bible study, yes.
So we're in the book of Hebrews.
Yes.
We're in chapter 6 and we're starting from verse 13. But I want to hand over to Cherry Tull first, who's got revelation on verse 8. So mm-hmm. this is kind of a recap of where we've been. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Cherry? That where you want to go?
Yes, but Gary, I just went out. I can hear you, but I can't see anything, so I'm off.
No, you're on at this end, Cherry. You're loud and clear, and we can see you.
Oh, really?
So
you
go.
Can hear. Okay. Well, you know, I was listening this morning. They were going over verse 4, talking about being enlightened. When we come to know the Lord, I mean, things change. And then it goes on to talk about the earth, which drinks on the rain, which is in verse 4. I feel like that's the rain. That's the whole. They're talking about the Holy Spirit raining on us, and cultivating us and making us grow. But then it goes down to in verse 8, it's talking about, but if we bear thorns and briars, you know, we're the ones that make the choice of what we, how we cultivate our own lives. And it talks about in Mark 4:9 about in the parable of the sower, and just making sure that thorns don't come up into our garden. And John made a comment this morning about being sluggish, that we don't want sluggishness in our life, and because we want to inherit the promises. We want to get stronger in the Lord. And I just felt like the scripture about Mark 1:4-9 just really came to me about the fact that some of the seeds that God places in our heart will grow on thorns, with thorns, and can be choked by the world. But we want the seeds of the Holy Spirit to, that comes to we want the Lord to let it grow in our hearts as strong as it possibly can. And we are responsible for that heart. And that's about all I wanted to say about this morning. And I just, that's something that came to me.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Cherry. Yeah.
But so I'm out. I don't know why I'm out.
No, you're, it's only your screen. We can see you perfectly fine. So just treat it like everything's normal. I'll let you know if you drop out. Yeah, so as Cherry was saying, and I'm speaking to the people out there in the third dimension, as Cherry was saying, this is a growth period. And when you first get born again, you are a child in Christ, and, you know, you water the new plant with the word of God. You know, see, the sower sows the seed. Now we've just come along and reaped the harvest. We didn't sow the seed in you, we just reaped the harvest. The word of God says that you know, you will reap where another man has sown. And once that harvest is and you are the harvest. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He's talking about reaping that harvest. And once a person comes into the body of Christ, because, you know, that's the first baptism, the Holy Spirit has just baptized you into the body of Christ. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, it's your responsibility to water yourself, your spiritual self, with the word of God. This is the word of God that you water that seed with. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's do the Bible study. Let's go, and we're going to start with John this morning. You'll be first cab off the rank, as we say over here in Australia, John. So I'm going to share screen. And
did Gloria read anything? Yeah.
No, she's not yet. Going to do it now.
Cherry did a recap on
okay.
Okay.
And we I just didn't know what you wanted me to do.
So. No, you're just, I was just giving you the heads up to be prepared.
I didn't mean to correct you. I apologize.
You don't have to apologize. It's all good. It's just been a bit of a different morning or evening.
Yeah, yeah.
We are in the world. Hebrews 6, verse 13, and we'll just read from 13 through to 15, please, Gloria.
Okay. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
Okay, now we're going to go to John, but I just want to point out that, let me just go to my notes here, because I know this is, it's referring to Genesis, and if I just go here, this oath that God took refers back to Genesis 22, verses 16 and 17. So, for when God made a promise to Abraham, just let me just reduce, what does it say, oath? Let me read it in the King James Version. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, that's the oath, mm-hmm. he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Mm-hmm. So, over to you, please, John.
thanks, Gary. I'm John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina, which is in the city called High Point, which is not far from where Gary lives. But anyway, Gary, what a wonderful promise. I mean, it mentioned someplace in there, you know, his descendants would be like the stars. I've been blessed to stand in the middle of the Sinai Desert and see what that night sky must have looked like to Abraham at one point in time. It's amazing. And, it says he didn't get all those spiritual blessings, as you know, a lot of people would think, you know, because he said he saw Jesus from afar off, and what a great thing he had to hold on to. So we have that by that oath. That's what we have that by. The Lord said, God our Father said to him, that was that oath. He promised him to, and so he got to see that afar off. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Over to you, please, Cherry.
Well, what came to me in verse 11 was we had those promises even today. It says in 14, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply you." He's talking about his seed, but also to us, that speaks to us. That's a promise to us. He is going to bless us. Sometimes it always doesn't always come the way we think it's going to come, but he surprises us. But it says, and so after he had been patiently endured, you know, imagine how patient he was to not see any evidence of the promise, but he did obtain the promise. What came to me was that a scripture, he is faithful to the promise in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded," you know, "that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor anything present nor things will separate us from the love of God now. Nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have that secure anchor of his promise to us through the blood of Jesus. We've been talking about the priest sometimes, and it's going to go on to talk about it, but he is our high priest, and everything is in Christ Jesus. He is this anchor. He is the anchor to all of our promises.
Yeah, thanks, Cherry. I'm speaking to the people out there in the third dimension. You see, The purpose of this Bible study is to teach how to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, what we're reading about here when God made this oath, and we're going back to the book of Genesis, right at the book of beginnings, you see, it's all about covenants. Covenants. There is a tremendous, how can I word this? Difficulty in the body of Christ to identify the difference between the covenant of that God made through Moses with the people, that the children of Israel. That covenant is called the law of Moses, and it was an add-on, right? It was an add-on. The Bible says that. It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come. So basically it had a use-by date. That is the covenant of Moses. But there is another covenant, and that's what we're looking at here when he's making this oath back in Genesis. See, God made covenant with himself. He keeps referring to it as my covenant, right? And can I say that even Abraham was grafted into that covenant? I know he made a covenant with Abraham, and the blood that was shed, it was a blood covenant. Every covenant is a blood covenant in the Bible. But I want you to get the handle on, there is an everlasting covenant, and then there's a covenant that is an add-on. And I know that there's a whole lot of different covenants throughout the Bible. You've got Noah, you've got Abraham, you've got, but basically there's one everlasting covenant. And the New Testament of the Bible is the fulfillment of that everlasting covenant. I've probably said enough on that because that's a huge topic, but I just want you to get your head around the challenge for all of us Christians, me included, is to identify which covenant are we talking about. In the New Testament, say the book of Romans, is it all grace, the covenant of grace? Well, no, it's not. Because the Apostle Paul is leading the people from the law of Moses to the grace of Jesus Christ. He's leading them from one covenant, which they place themselves under, to a new covenant. So you have to be careful. You're sitting in church, you're hearing the preacher out the front. He's preaching from the book of Romans. And you're saying to yourself, does this apply to me? Oh, well, it's in the New Testament. It's out of Romans, so it must apply to you. Not necessarily. You've got to look at who the audience is. And Paul uses a method of ministry where he places himself in the shoes of his audience. So even though he's saying, I this and I that, and he's not lying, because at one stage he was in the position, but he's really pointing at where they're at. And in the early part of Romans, Paul preaches the law on steroids. Somebody must have needed that, because I've kind of wandered a little bit off track, so I'll correct myself right here. Let's get back to Hebrews chapter 6, mm-hmm. verses 13 to 15. Over to you, please, Kathleen, and you'll have to unmute first.
Yes, well, I just want to read those three verses again. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now in Genesis 12:4, it tells us that Abraham was 75 when he received that promise, when he when the promise was given. The promise was given age 75 in Genesis 12:4, if you want to check that. Yeah. And in Genesis 21, verse 5, we see he was 100 years old 25 years later.
What's that scripture reference again, please, Kathleen? The second one?
The second one, Genesis 21:5. We see that he's 100 years old, 25 years later. The promise is fulfilled and Isaac is born. But we are told in our new covenant, one of our instructions is that by faith and patience are our promises inherited. So it's up to us now. I do like what Cherry shared before we went into the Bible reading, because we do have to take care of our heart, especially, I think it's Matthew 13, where he says about the soils, and thorns and thistles only come because at first, when you're born again, you're all excited, but you have to choose daily to eat, have your daily bread. And you are responsible for that. No one else. You are responsible to feed and water your spirit man. And so just as Abraham, by faith and patience, received the promise, so we too, by faith and patience, will receive our promise. And let us remember that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So I just leave it there, Gary. I just wanted to bring that point out.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. That's good. And thank you very much for giving us those dates, because I was incorrect. I was talking off the top of my head and I had my dates all mixed up last night. So let's go on. Let's go to share screen again. And we've just got time to do 16. One more quick round, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where are we? Verse 16. Yeah, just read 16 to 18, please, Gloria.
Mm-hmm. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us.
Okay, thanks, Gloria. Over to you, please, John. No, you're left on mute.
Okay.
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. We've lost your vision, but...
Oh, you lost the picture? Okay. Well, yeah,
go ahead with the comment.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, God is so good. You know, he gives us the promises, and he talks about, he gives us the promises that all I want to say, to take away our unbelief. What a great situation. And this is what I think he believes and he talks about here. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Over to you, please, Cherry.
I love about the part about abundantly to the heirs of promise. We're his beloved. He loves us.
Amen.
He showed me I was just in prayer and spending some time with him. And I had never seen this side of God, but he showed me, he said, I'm jealous for you. He loves us so much. We are blessed. And so whatever God puts in your heart as a promise, he's going to do it. You know, he told me, I was just sharing before we went on about the Lord making sure, because I really stepped out really in faith because I had had trouble with my business and didn't have much retirement. And so God just, my Aunt Ellen just called at the same right time. And she said, you do it anyway. Because if God is telling you to go to Karis, you do it anyway. He said, he told me audibly, I was just doing something else. He said, I've got your retirement. And so something happened this past week that gave me a little, you know, just a little nudge that everything's going to be okay. And anyway, it's impossible for God to lie. Okay. And if he tells you something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It might not always happen in your time. But we have this strong consolation when we take this refuge in him. Mm. He's not going to lie.
Amen. Over to you. Thanks, Cherry. Over to you, please, Kathleen.
Yes. Well, I'll just read those few verses from the New Living Translation because it just brings it out, what Cherry was saying. For example, For example, there was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no greater to swear by God, took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. And I'm so, that really blessed me because God will never change his mind. Because in the New King James, it says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that's set before us. And I just love that God will never change his mind. If he promised me something, he will keep his word. And I can now hold fast to the promises and claim my inheritance in him.
Amen. Amen. Oh, so good. Thank you very much, ministers. And, you know, to the people out there in the third dimension, why is God, through his word, in these two verses, making so much emphasis on the fact that he's not going to change his mind? Why is that? Because of the promises made to you. How many promises are there in the Bible, Kathleen?
7,000, over 7,000. We'll never exhaust his love for us. As Cherry said, he loves us with unfailing love.
Over 7,000 promises, all aimed at you. The Word of God says that his promises pursue you and overtake you. You know, how do you receive those promises? By faith. We can only receive by faith what God has given to us by grace. Faith does not move God. Faith is a positive response to his grace. Amen. Cherry, you wanted to say something?
A lot of times when God tells you something, there will be sometimes there's a, you have to really trust and believe him, because sometimes there's a war. If it's God, there's going to be a war. It's going to be something that's going to come in the way, try to get you to not believe and trust. But when he said he would do it, he'll do it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Kathleen.
Also, we must remember that we have the faith of Jesus. It's not really our faith in him.
Amen.
It's his faith in us. And in Revelation, it says that, and those who have the faith of Jesus.
Yeah.
So his faith, the faith that he has planted within me, is working mightily.
Amen. Amen. In fact, that reminds me of the verses that we studied out last night. You know, the author of the book of Hebrews talked to the people who he just previously given them a warning about the direction they were going. And he said, but I'm believing more in you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he is speaking on behalf of God. God believes in you. God believes that you will come through. How do you do that? By putting your trust in Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to ask Gloria, my wife Gloria, my darling, sitting here beside me
Kathleen
with her arms wrapped
something.
Around our little Ricky.
Kathleen wanted to say something.
Yes, Kathleen.
First.
I just wanted to say something about that's why we can't boast in anything. Because without him, we wouldn't have anything. So our boast is in him, even our faith.
Amen. Amen. Over to you, Gloria, to close this Bible study and prayer.
And before I do, I just pray that everybody on the screen and everybody who's watching have a very blessed week this week as we come up to that time of Easter and remembering what Christ has done for us, and just to focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. He just loves us so much. Father God, we thank you for this very precious time. We thank you for the ministers who have been on the screen and through the Holy Spirit have spoken truth about your word. We thank you for all those people who are watching on who have made a decision today to make you Lord Jesus. And Father God, we just love you so much. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit and you gave your only begotten Son to pay the price for us. Thank you, Father God. We love you. We worship you and we praise the name of Jesus, and we close this Bible study in his name. Amen.
Amen. And if you've got something out of this Bible study today, then let us know. Put a comment below and just say, this is what blessed me. And be specific about it, if you would. It'd really bless us to hear not just a thumbs up, I liked it. Why did you like it? That would really bless us. Thank you very much. And remember where you're watching us right now, because we'll be back this time next week and we'd love to see you again. God
Bye,
bless.
Everybody.
Thanks, ministers.
Oh,
thanks,
I'm getting
everybody.
A kiss. Bye, everybody.